Well, good morning again. Good morning, good morning. And we are in the midst of our summer series called Summer in the Psalms. If you have your Bibles with you this morning and you don't know where that is, you could probably open your Bible flat out in the middle and you will find right there, it will open to the Psalms most likely, or Job. The Psalms are Hebrew writings. They are poetry. They are songs. And they were actually written to be used in Israel's corporate worship and sung. And they are expressions of joy, lament, praise, gratitude, and petitions to God. So as with all scripture, right, the Psalms weren't written to us, but they are indeed for us. And it's a powerful tool that we can use to deepen our prayer life and put words to our own feelings of faith and confusions and doubts and praises. And these Psalms, we can use these as our prayer tools to deepen our relationship with God, being formed by His Spirit. Is that my earring? Austin doesn't have to take off his earrings. Yeah. And in the words here at Pine Lake Covenant, we like to quote John Mark Comer. This is our theme. This is our pattern, is that all of this, the purpose of being in the Word and being shaped by the Word, is to help us be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a morning already to praise you with all of our voices together in worship is a gift and a blessing, and it changes us from the inside out. Lord, as we enter into this incredibly powerful and beautiful psalm, I just pray that the words will lift off of the screen and out of my own voice and into our hearts, and to shape us and mold us, change us. May I be small and may you be big, and may your word go out and not return void, but God, may it take anchor in our souls. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to first read the entire Psalm of 103 together on the screen. Or you don't have to read it all together. That would be hard. But I will read it, and you can absorb it. And I am reading today from the New Revised Standard Version, which you may be a little more unfamiliar with, as NIV is usually our go-to. But I can't get away from the NRSV with this, because these are like the songs we sing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we're going to sit in this version this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like the flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Wow. It's amazing. I just love this psalm. It is rich. It is meaty. There's so much we can camp out in here. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Austin preached a beautiful word on Psalm 139, and he admitted to forgetting, as he was leaving the church parking lot, to leaving his own son at church. And I just wanted to say, in speaking in solidarity with my teammate, that I also, as a pastor's kid, was once, I think twice, actually left on the curb of Bellingham Covenant Church, wondering if my parents would ever remember that they left me there to die. So Stephen and I can talk. But forgetting is something that I am very familiar with, and all the Pine Lake staff and my family says, amen. I forget my keys. I forget my phone. I forget where I put my purse. I forget that I put my coffee on top of my car and drive away. I want to see a hand of someone who has done that. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I once forgot to put my brand new manual car in park, and I left it on a steep hill. I'm still sorry about that, Rob. It was like 25 years ago. All right, so this week on our mission trip to the Dominican Republic, I forgot what toothpaste looked like. And as I put it in my mouth, it was anything but minty freshness. And to my dismay, I was brushing my teeth with Benadryl anti-itch cream. And so where's the girls? They just hear me like freak out. They're like, dude, what is wrong with you? I'm like, Now, the worst part of this is I've done it before. Once I used Bengay in my mouth. And another time, it was my hair. I just, in the dark, it was spraying hairspray, but it was Lysol. I can't make this up. I really can't. forgetfulness. It's funny sometimes. It's embarrassing sometimes. It's frustrating. It's costly at other times. I just want to say this so that my husband's love for me is quite faithful and patient and deep, okay? But friends, sometimes it's hard to remember, and so we must train ourselves to do so. The psalmist here, this psalm is attributed to King David in Psalm 103. He begins with a call to remember as he sets up the song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." Or other translations say, "Never forget all of his benefits." And this word remember occurs over 250 times throughout the Bible. And many of these instances are direct commands from God to his people to remember something important. Remember what I did with Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. Remember the wondrous works that I have done and my miracles and judgments. Remember to do all my commandments. Remember the law of my servant Moses. Remember how I, the Lord, led you all the way in the wilderness. It happens over and over and over again in Scripture. It is frequent and it is foundational. Why? Because we keep forgetting. Like I do with my things. Like all middle school boys with their hoodies. Okay? And maybe, like these things, it's not on purpose. But nevertheless, we forget, and so we must be intentional in our recalling. We must train ourselves to remember like a muscle, to use it again and again. Write it down, say it out loud, tell a friend, write it out loud, write it down, say it out loud. Do it again and again. Train ourselves to remember because we forget. And this is what the psalm is doing with us this morning. The psalmist is reminding us who God is, what he has done, and who we are. But before I look at what these three pieces, I want to make a quick note about the psalmist's word choice, about David's choice of words. He begins with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord, O my soul. So what's happening here is David is preaching to his soul. God, I love this so much. Preach to your soul. O my soul. Don't forget. Don't forget the movement of the Spirit that happened. Don't forget what you experienced. Don't forget the blessings of God. What's going on my mic? Should I switch it? Okay. Don't forget. Don't forget. But he's preaching to his soul. And how many times in my life do I find myself in a pit, which we're going to talk about later, and I need to reach for truth? I need to not only listen to the truth from the vessels that the Holy Spirit is using around in my life, but I need to do some preaching to my very own soul, right? Oh, come on, soul. You know. You know what is right. You know what is good. You know what is true. You know what God has done. You know how God is faithful. Come on, soul, don't you get shy on me, like the song says, right? Rise up and praise the Lord. Come on, soul. So friends, sometimes in the darkest of places, in the hardest of walks that we're in, we need to take this word and bring it into our hearts and say, come on, soul, because your soul is listening. You're listening to yourself. So preach to your soul. Now, what are we preaching? We're preaching who God is and what God does. So I want to take a look at this, who God is. I wrote these out. There's probably more in here. But here's what I found in this psalm alone is God is holy, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, does not stay angry forever. He is our Father. He knows us. He's mindful of our humanity. He is loving and he is kind forever. How about that? All right, soul, take a look. Remember who God is. This is a reason to praise. Amen. Amen. And so the psalmist puts most of the meat of who God is in these verses 7 to 12. If you have your Bibles or your phone, these verses 7 to 12 in Psalm 103 that most of these are listed in is an echo of Exodus 34:7, which is the most quoted passage by Scripture in Scripture. So what does that tell us? To pay attention to it, right? This is important. It matters. And this matters because this is the moment captured in the Exodus that God chooses to introduce himself to humanity, not through thunder and not through abstract theology or philosophy, but through his own spoken word. And this is the moment where Moses says, God, I want you to reveal yourself to me. And God says, I am going to let all my goodness pass in front of you and tell you who I am. I'm going to proclaim my name. And when he does, he declares this. Yahweh, Yahweh, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, and by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. This is what God says about himself. It's not a secondary testimony. This is God self-revealing, his own choice of adjectives. It's the moment where we hear him say, let me tell you exactly who I am at my core. And he begins, right, not with power, not with his holiness, not with sovereignty, though he is indeed all those things. But the word that God starts with to describe himself to his people is compassionate. Wow. Now this word, you guys still with me? Now this word, we're going in one step deeper. Okay? This is a word that we struggle to translate in English. This word has said, this loving kindness, it's not just love, it's not just compassion, it's not just mercy, it's not just kindness, it's all of that and more. It actually means a covenant loyalty, a fierce love, an unspeakable, unshakable devotion. Loving kindness is the kind that bends low and stays long and never lets go. That is the very first words out of God's mouth when he describes who he is. Or again, maybe in the words of our Jesus storybook Bible that the Pine Lake kids are going through downstairs, Chesed is God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And so in Psalm 103, right, David is returning to this chesed, returning to the core part of who God is. And he repeats it again and again in verse 4 and in verse 8 and verse 11 and 17. It's like the psalmist can barely describe God without using the word chesed. Because it's God's defining characteristic. Friends, it's the foundation beneath every act of God, including his justice. Because God does not let evil go unanswered. And this, too, is part of his chesed goodness. Right? The Lord, verse 6, the psalmist says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. God's chesed, love, and justice are not opposites. They are the two hands of God. Right? Because his justice isn't cold and clinical and prejudiced like ours can be. It is personal and perfect and shaped by compassion. Because without perfect love, justice becomes vengeance. And without perfect justice, love becomes indulgence. You with me? But in our perfect God, the two are never separated. Praise God for a justice like that. And I want to point this out today because in case you're like me and you tend to forget, maybe not about Lysol and stuff like that and Benadryl, but if you tend to forget, like I often do, who God is, we are being reminded to remember. Like when we start believing the lies that maybe God doesn't love us or that he's impatient with us, that he's given us up on us, come back and remember. Like when we start to believe that God has stopped caring about the cries of the oppressed that we hear in the news every day, we come back and we remember that God is working his justice and he will to fruition someday. We can recall this truth and preach to our soul. And when we do, friends, we are pulled out of those shadows of deception and into the light of God's healing love. Remember who God is. So this leads us right to remembering what God does. And of course, they're connected. Who God is what he does. But for the sake of today, I put them in different categories. So again, looking at Psalm 103, this would be I do have a study guide for you to take home because I can't help myself. And there's all kinds of things in here that we're not going to get to today. So I'd like you to take it. It's in the back. Okay. So please take that, go home, reflect and do some study on this. But it's really fun, I think, to take a psalm and to write on one side who God is, what God does and who we are. So this is my list of what I found in Psalm 103 about what God does. He performs justice for the oppressed, like we just talked about. He defends the vulnerable and he judges evil. And I just want to stop for a minute and say, is there anyone else incredibly grateful that this is God's job? Right? And this is what God does. And did you know that there are over 2,000 verses in scripture that speak to God's concern and advocacy for the poor and his againstness of those who abuse the vulnerable? This is what God does. Okay, I'm going to keep going. He pardons sins. Now we could just sit in that for the rest of the day. That's enough to praise the Lord that we are forgiven. He heals diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies our years with good things. He performs righteous deeds. He made known his ways. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. He loves those who fear him. He removes our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. He has compassion on his children. He established his throne, and he rules over all dominions. Again, holy buckets, soul. And David puts down his pen or his, I don't know, ink feather thing. And he's like, I don't know. He says, okay, soul, take a look. Now what do you think? Praise the Lord. Are we still in that pit, soul? I have to admit, when I first read this psalm, though, in the very beginning when it says, forget not his benefits, I get a little uneasy. Like when I think of benefit, I think of like health insurance or car insurance. Like we sign up for insurance. Like what's the benefit of this costly payment? Or we start a loyalty card at our local coffee shop and the benefit is we get a free 8-ounce drip coffee after spending like $890. You calculate it. Oh, yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, it's great. When I hear benefit, I'm like, are we supposed to sign up for God for benefits? Like, is this just something we should just do and not to get a kickback? But yet I love this psalm because David, in his humanness and knowing the human condition, he's like, I'm going to lean into this. In fact, let's name it. What is the benefit of fearing God? What is the blessing of walking in holy, righteous obedience to God, which means you're saying no to a whole lot that the world is saying you should say yes to, and yes to a narrow way of fearing and walking God? He goes, why? What's the benefit? And he goes, this. So soul, choose this day whom you will serve. and remember. And then David, then he takes one step further and he now helps us remember who we are in comparison. This is who God is. This is what God has done. And now let's talk about who we are. So again, I made my list. It's very fun. You should try it. Okay. And I go through the psalm and I circle all the things that kind of talk about who we are. Sinners. Pit dwellers. Diseased. His children. Like dust. Like grass. Like flowers. Will die. Welcome to Pinelake Covenant. So funny. Maybe not the funnest part of the psalm, but it's truth. So hang in there with me for a minute, because first of all, I love this word pit, because once Beth Moore, one of my favorite preachers and speakers, she once talked about herself as a pit dweller, and I'm like, oh yes, yeah, sister, right here. That is me. Oh, but you're so happy all the time, Becca. Yeah, I have the joy of the Lord, but friends, I can get myself stuck in a really good pit. And I kind of like love to be there. You know what I mean? Get down in there and get into the muck of my grievances and just sit in it. Put it all over me. Total pit-dwelling tendencies right here. And David calls attention to our mortality, our weakness, and our pit-dwelling tendencies. Not in shame, but in juxtaposition to God's faithful and eternal love. Because the point is not our worthlessness. The point is not my worthiness. The point is God's godness. And what happens when God's godness comes into our humanness? The psalm sings us into the truth that our frailty is no match for his faithfulness. I'm going to say that again. We're going to be singing into the truth that our frailty is no match for God's faithfulness. My pit dwellingness is no match for the long arm of the Lord that will come in and be faithful to me. We are like grass, yes, but his chesed is from everlasting to everlasting. His chesed is not diminished by our frailty. It is not shaken by our failures. It fills us and finally crowns us. In verse 4, we are told that God's chesed, his loving kindness, his fierce, loyal covenant, unbreaking, never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love, crowns us. Crowns us. What a beautiful image to carry with us. Last week at Pine Lake Kids, we talked about being crowned with God's glory, and the kids were able to make these beautiful crowns filled with jewels and embellishments, and I have some out for you for a photo opportunity, a little Instagram photo booth for us today, because I want you to put on your crown. Put it on. These little ones, they came upstairs with these glowing crowns with these gems all over, and I saw Emma Harmon, which I have a picture of her, just like, with her crown. And there was this look on her face and a smile on her cheeks. She stood tall and she stood proud, just glowing. She is wearing that crown with all the dignity and worth that she could muster because she came upstairs reminded who she is. She is royalty. So are you. And God has crowned us with his worth. And his worthiness, his chesed, and love. Where is your crown today? Do you remember that you have one? Are you wearing it? And perhaps you look at these words of sin, disease, death, weakness, pit-dwelling, dust, and sometimes you believe that that is all we are. Right? How easy it is to sometimes get into this pain, this pit of shame about our humanity. But perhaps it's time for us to preach to our souls. Say, yes, this describes my human condition east of Edom, but this is not all who I am. Tell your soul the truth. You are God's child. He is your father, and he crowns us with his love. So pick up your crowns and straighten them and walk with that Emma Harmon glow. Today, straighten it and then remind your friend, hey, put your crown on. And maybe they need help. Maybe they need help remembering that and lifting it up and putting it on their head. Which brings us to the final part of the psalm. If this is who God is, this is what he has done, this is who we are, and we are not forgetting this, then we are to bless the Lord, remember his blessings, fear God, and keep his covenant. I love that. Okay, soul, look at all this. Now what's our part? This is what walking tall and proud with our crowns on looks like. A life of blessing, praising God, keeping his commandments. In conclusion, I just offer a humble snapshot as the worship team comes back up of what this can look like. During our mission trip to the DR, I think that Psalm 103 in action looked a little like this. Holding children, making beds for the bedless, partnering with a ministry who partners with God's mission to care about justice for the poor and the oppressed. It's about young basketball playing men being challenged and encouraged to become all that God has for them to be. It's living in community together, multi-generationally, offering love and grace and joy to each other. It's lifting up our voices in one room, English, Spanish, Canadian, Taiwanese, I got you, and Dominican alike, in praises and thanksgiving to God. Every tribe, every nation, praising God together. It's declaring the work of Jesus on the cross and two people who gave their life to Jesus on this trip. It's learning true faith from those who are poor in health and material possessions, who boldly declare to us, "Bless the Lord, he has blessed me." Oh, our souls, let us bless the Lord. Amen.